Let's get it started in here.
Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400 KKZZ, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here.
Lose control, a body, a soul. Don't move too fast, people just take it slow. Don't get ahead, just jump into it. Y'all hear about it?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Is it hot in here?
It's hot in here.
Are you guys got saying, lots of heat going on in here? What? All right.
Somebody didn't turn on the air.
Well, you know what? It's so beautiful out. It's going to be like a summer day.
It's supposed to be 90 this weekend.
I know. My husband's in Palm Springs, and he's like, it's going to be 100. I'm like, it's perfect where we are right here, you know? So anyways, I am so excited to start our show today. And we've got Betty Alkazian in. She is our parenting coach. I put you all over Facebook. I'm sure you saw that, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, we've got her mother-in-law in here. Terry, welcome.
Thank you.
And we got Marcia.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. We got Matt on our board. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. And you know, what a great topic, really. I thought we could like go hours on this, you know, because a mother-in-law is, you know, you fall in love with vice versa, right? Either your husband or your wife, and you're really mirroring the family. And it's so important to have that connection. So many of us challenge our in-laws instead of welcome them. And so I'm really excited to talk about all the different aspects of that. And, you know, I love my mother-in-law.
So do I.
I know. I mean, I'm really fortunate. And you know, the bad thing is that I don't see her enough, you know, because she lives down in, you know, at Pedro down there. And in fact, I was on Facebook and she was there. So I'm like, I'm going to call you. And she does listen to my show. So if you are listening.
Well, and your mother, your husband and your mother get along very well.
Both my parents. My husband, sometimes I'll be, you know, listening to him on a phone call. I'm like, who are you talking? Oh, it's your mom or dad. And I'm like, hello, you know. So, but you know what? I welcome that. And I think that's so important. So if you have a great in-law and maybe you want to just give a little shout out, or a great, you know, just somebody in your life that makes a difference, that's what it's all about. So, Terry, how far do you live from Betty?
I live up here. In fact, I just lived down Victoria.
Oh, she's going to be my guest on my show all the time.
She's awesome.
Not at this time in the morning.
I know. Oh, isn't that the truth? I'm telling you. Well, anyways, well, I want to welcome everyone and let you know a little bit about our show. My listeners like to look good, feel good, and do good. And this is a very positive show. And it's you know, it's a perfect way to look at life in a better way so that, you know, we all have trials and tribulations in life, right? But it's all about how we handle them and how we receive them. And, you know, I want to wish my girlfriend Sue a happy birthday. It's her birthday today. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Sue.
Probably not up because we were, you know, we were at, well, actually, she's probably not up right now, but she'll listen to the 1 o'clock. So I want to remind you, if you don't hear this one, you can listen again from 1 to 2. Also, you can stream us at KimPaganoShow.com and you can listen on iTunes. You can download all of our shows now on iPods. And because I'm back into exercise and I'm getting back down to, that size that I used to be, you know. So anyways, but not only that, there's just a lot of different ways. Tune in radio and, you know, there's just check it out. You'll add value. All of my guests add value, and that's what it's all about. Today we're going to be talking to Kindred Howard, and well, do I look good? You know, and that's one of the things when we're expecting moms. Do, you know, we always ask our husbands, and it's kind of a catch-22. How do they say, right?
You know, I like the name of her book, Cavemen in Babylon, or yeah. Babyland. Oh, Babyland. Cavemen in Babyland. Oh, so we got the whole baby thing going on.
Yeah, exactly. And then we have another book by Jenny Lawson, and Let's Pretend That Never Happened. You know, I didn't really look through this book, but...
And it says a mostly true memoir, so
yeah, I know.
I'm interested to see what it meant.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be... God. But you know what? Sometimes, do you ever, like, erase, you know, like you said something or did something? You know, it's funny, on Monday, we had a dream expert on, and she was talking about kind of our dreams and stuff, and one of the things that Dr. Stephen Trudeau said, he has these dreams where his teeth are falling out, and I'm like, really? I've never had a dream like that. And she said, you haven't? You're a radio host. Why not? It's because you say things that you might not want to hear, so you have these dreams of your teeth. She had, I mean, everything had
wow.
a reason
okay,
behind
it. Okay, I've never
it.
Had that dream. I've
I know. Isn't
ones,
that weird?
Dreams are very symbolic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, I do want to give out our phone number here at 805-639-0008. And Betty, tell us a little bit about you, just so we can get started. And I know we have our first guest, but I just want to let everybody know where you're at and who you are.
Thank you. I'm Betty Alkazian. My business is Balanced Parenting. I'm a marriage and family therapist. My office is in Thousand Oaks, and I specialize in working with parents of kids of all ages with all different kinds of issues.
Wow. I could have used you. No, I'm kidding. My kids are older, and they're terrific.
Job, yeah.
But boy, there are times that every parent, I truly believe, if it's not a friend or, you know, find somebody professional, every parent needs someone to talk to.
It's every true. Once in a while. It does take a village, truly.
Yeah. Just to make you feel like you're not, like you're normal.
Yeah, well, they do that on you, don't they? They yeah. have that effect that they make you feel like you're not normal. All right. Well, let's start with our first guest. Kindred, are you there?
I am. How are you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Doing well today. Thank you.
All right. So you've been on my show before, correct?
I have. And the fact that you've had me back leads me to believe that I must not have done anything too offensive.
No. You know what? I always invite my great guests back. So I know that you added value the last time. And, of course, you're going to do that again today. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I have an organization called Family Upward, Marriage, Parent, and Family Life Coaching. For over 11 years as a full-time minister, I actually, you know, worked with counseling a lot of couples, a lot of parents on parenting issues, that sort of thing. And then a couple years ago, I just decided to put some of that experience back to work, working specifically focused on helping, you know, couples with marriage issues, you know, the simple kind of stuff, communication, frustrations, things like that you deal with in your marriage, and helping parents with parental issues, often behavioral issues with their kids. Again, nothing, you know, too deep or psychological in nature, mostly just the common stuff you run into. How do I get my kids to listen to me? How do I, you know, get my kids to respond to things I'm trying to do? What should be my focus in raising my kids? All those sorts of things.
I think that's so important, just to really stay on the same page. And actually, you know, more than anything is, you know, Marcia and I, we just went, I wish you guys would have known. It was so good. There was, I mean, it was sold out, but Women Fully Clothed.
It was
and
funny.
It was just universal of what we all go through in life. And so they did different skits. And once you know that you're normal, you know, that this is normal, that, you know, by the age of 12, your kids no longer think you know anything, you know,
yeah.
and stuff like that. You know, by the age of 50, you're a husband and you might not think you, like, you know, might not be on the same page again. You got to work a little harder to get back invested again. There's just things in life. And so, you know, no one ever told us this when we were young. I mean,
right.
I think it's something that we really need to talk about. And so I'm so glad that you're here. We also have Betty Alkazian, and she is a parent coach, too.
Hey,
and
Betty.
We need to hang out, Kindred.
Yeah.
Really. I'm sure I can always learn a few things from you. So I always tell people that, you know, sometimes I'll give advice to people, say, wow, that really helps. I'll say, well, you know, congratulations. You just benefited from me banging my head against a few walls. You know, I wrote this book, Cavemen in Babyland, What New and Expecting Mommies Should Know About New Daddies So That They Won't Kill Them. And I always tell people, I wrote the book from all my own near-death experience. I just took everything that I did wrong and upset my wife, put it in a book to try and help somebody else.
And you know what? I mean, ooh, you just gave me chills, because that is what my show's about. Somebody else talking about their journey so it can make it easier for someone else.
I love these two. This is Marcia, by the way. We have quite a full cast here today. But I love these two quotes you have. Expectant mom, do I look like I gained weight? Expectant dad, of course, you're pregnant. Wrong answer.
No, yeah. You still look wonderful, right? Is the right answer?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's really interesting. Is a lot of times guys, and of course I'm speaking very generally here, but a lot of times we think of things very practical. Like you ask me a question, the practical conclusion is you want my opinion or honest answer. And we forget that a lot of times, say in the case of you know, not just with pregnant moms, but that's one of the areas where maybe it's magnified and heightened, is what you're looking for more is just some encouraging, you know, reassurance about the truth, not necessarily the truth. You're already smart enough to know what the truth is. I'm asking you so you can make me feel a little bit better about things, not because I want your honest opinion. So, you know, I've been married for 15 years now, so I've stepped on that mine enough times that I've gotten a lot better at catching myself. But even I can make that mistake sometimes if I'm not paying attention.
You know, the smartest thing my husband ever did before, when we were dating, I started complaining about something or talking about something at work, and he said, I just want to know right now, do you want me to solve this, or do you just want me to listen to you?
There you go.
That became our mantra in our relationship. When I wanted him to solve something, I would tell him, I need some help with this. If I didn't want him to solve it, I just wanted to vent, then I would tell him that too. And it really works.
And I would be willing to bet, if you asked your husband, that he knew to ask that question because there was a previous time in his life when he didn't ask that question.
You're probably right.
And he got in a lot of trouble, and he learned something very important. But yeah, that's, you know, I had to learn that with my wife too. A lot of times she doesn't want me to solve her problem. She just wants me to listen to how she feels about her problem.
Exactly. And the way women talk to each other, they don't solve each other's problems. They just tell each other what's going on. Maybe give them some hints, but
And that's one thing I talk to couples about a lot of times is you know, husbands and wives or boyfriends and girlfriends, whatever the case may be, most of the time both people mean well. You know, it's very rare you run into a situation where someone doesn't mean well, but men make the mistake of talking to women the way they talk to other men, and women make the mistake of expecting men to communicate the way they would communicate with other women. And so therein, you know, comes the problem a lot of times.
You know what I really love about, even I haven't read your book and I can't wait to, but even just some of the quotes that you have here is your sense of humor. Because when we're in it, we don't think it's so funny and we think, oh, it's so frustrating and it'll never feel better. But to have a sense of humor and to remember to lighten the moment is such a useful tool.
It is a key. And I mean, and not be so serious about everything. We take life so seriously. And it is, you know, you got to kind of lighten up and enjoy your ride.
And this book is written, I think, from what you said, from the point of view of what mothers can learn talking to new dads, because they have their own issues.
Oh, yeah.
So what is the most important thing new mommies should remember about new daddies?
We mean well. Don't kill us.
And we need your help.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, and you know, before I answer that question, let me just say that, you know, that was one of the big things my wife said to me when I was working on the book. She said, Kindred, whatever you put in there, make it funny and make moms laugh. Moms need a good laugh. And what you're saying earlier about, you know, having people we can talk to and realizing we're not the only ones, those are really two big incentives in writing the book, is I wanted to, in a humorous way that helps people laugh at reality, I wanted to also encourage not just moms but couples, look, you're not the only ones going through all these issues. Because like you said earlier, there's a big sigh of relief sometimes. Our culture is kind of built on everyone keeping up this image that everything's okay. I wanted to kind of let people get behind closed doors and say, look, just about everybody's dealing with some form of what you're dealing with. So be encouraged that this is not unusual and you'll be fine. You know, but in terms of what mommy should know about new daddies, like I said, really, I said it jokingly, but that we do mean well, but also, especially for younger husbands or younger boyfriends or first-time soon-to-be dads, we can't read your mind. We really do need specific direction on what you need, when you need it, and how we should go about it.
I have to say, even when you've been married for 20-something years, you can't read your mind. And really, that is like, don't you think you're both marriage counselors, right?
Yes.
Is really in life. I mean, we're all on this planet kind of separately, and so you have to really know what you want. A lot of us don't know what we want, and we expect our partners to handle it.
And to read our minds.
And to read our minds.
We have to have reasonable expectations of each other, and if we need something, we need to say it.
Right, and I know a lot of, I mean, I'm just going to take my own relationship where, you know, when you're asking, you know, honey, what do you want to do? And he goes, I don't know, whatever you want to do. It's probably because you both don't know what you want to do.
Exactly.
And right. You're going, no, you answer it. No, you answer it, you know? So I just think that this is really true. Not only, I mean, obviously when you're pregnant and, you know, your body starts to change and you've got all these different responsibilities that you've never handled before, there's definitely a huge stress that's on that. And then you want your partner. It's like, I think, you know how they have the kids at school that carry around a baby for, you know, to learn how? I think men should just start to put a little pouch on. They, you know, start to look,
you know,
a little different.
The most important baby book, my kids are now teenagers, almost out of the house, so it's been a long time. The baby book that I read, and I hate to plug somebody else's book, it was called Baby Wise. But the thing that they said in it was, you have to nurture the relationship between the husband and wife. That is the most important relationship. That's what made the baby.
That's what made
and
the baby.
You should be like a pyramid. The baby is on top, not between you. And you're both holding up the baby. But really, you need a foundation of each other to keep that relationship to you know,
yeah,
be healthy. And I thought that was the most important thing I had ever
read. But, you know, Now, Kindred, is this your only book?
This is the first full-length book that I've got on parenthood. I'm working on currently co-authoring a book with a friend of mine, a gentleman named John Roseman, right now. And then I've got another book that I'm working on, two other books actually on the side that I'm working on as well. So hopefully those will be out, one later this year and the other maybe next year.
Are they on parenting also?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I love about this is that it's the male's side, the perspective,
exactly.
You know? Because so many of us, it's the woman that the, you know, nothing against you, Kindred, but men go to work, women have to handle all this stuff, right? And then men come home and think, oh, it's all magically done, you know? Or, you know, there are, I mean, really, the time is changing right now where men are being way more involved. So if anybody's just joining us right now, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm so glad that you are starting your day in a positive way. We're talking with Kindred Howard, and his book is Cavemen in Babyland. How did you get that name?
Well, first of all, kind of hitting on what you just said as far as, you know, how men sometimes don't understand what all women are going through. I originally started writing this book as a book addressed predominantly to men.
Oh.
And then, as I was starting to get into it, doing some blogging to build interest in the book, it suddenly occurred to me, wait a minute, most men don't buy parenting and relationships.
You know what would be fun is to have it like a gardening or a gun, and then they open it up and it's really.
Yeah. So I was like, it's not often a husband comes home and, you know, honey, did this week's copy of Parenting Magazine come? Probably doesn't too often.
So what is the number one rule for expectant dads to follow?
The number one rule for expectant dads to follow, I would say, is remember that it ain't about you. It's all about your wife.
Mm.
And you know, when the baby arrives, it's all about your wife and your baby. I think that, and really, that's the rule I would tell any husband, whether or not a baby's in the picture or not. It's not about you. Focus on what you need to be for her, and understanding and trying to learn to understand even more what it is she's experiencing, what she's going through. You can't fully understand it. But it's very easy as a man to kind of just see this 9 months of pregnancy or whatever as kind of just this waiting period. You're waiting around for the baby to arrive, trying to get some details, taking care of all that. For her, this is a huge change in her body.
It's a shift in life, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to, guys just have to make the decision. You know what? This ain't about me. So if she's emotional or gets upset or can't make up her mind, if he's going back, it's not my place to get offended or to get frustrated. This is all about serving her, making her feel as comfortable as she can, reassuring her as much as I can, helping her to feel confident when she's tempted to feel insecure, whatever the case may be. And I always tell soon-to-be dads, while everyone else is making a fuss about the soon-to-arrive baby or after the baby comes in the hospital or after you bring it home, everyone's making a fuss about the baby, you make sure you're the one making a fuss about your wife.
Such great advice.
Everyone else is making a big deal out of the baby. You remember to hold up your wife. Honor her in front of other people. Tell other people what, both when she's there and when she's not, what a great mom she is, what a great wife she is, how much you appreciate her. These are things that can go a long way.
Well, Kindred, your wife Meredith is a lucky girl.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, can you please record that?
I know. Exactly. And you know what? I would love to have you back because you know what? We didn't even touch on a couple things. You know, I mean, there's a whole sexual side of it that, you know, men, you know, I mean, here you don't want it. You know, you're uncomfortable, your body. And how do you, how does the husband wait and make sure, you know what I mean? Fill his needs.
Read the last chapter.
There you go. Okay. I thought so. Okay, great. Where do we find your book?
Well, you can obviously get it on Amazon or through any of the major online, you know, book distributors. But also your listeners, if they want to save a little bit of money, can go directly to the book website, cavemeninbabyland.com. That's cavemen, plural, cavemeninbabyland.com. And they can order it directly from there as well, and we can ship them a copy in which the shipping costs, taxes are already covered in the cost of the book. So
perfect.
Amazon or that website would probably be your two best options.
Well, thank you so much for all your positive thoughts on a male side of it. And we're talking with Kindred Howard, Caveman in Babyland. So thank you, Kindred.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a great day.
You too. Yeah. All right. All right. So, Betty.
Kim.
I know. We've been doing this for a while now, and it's so much fun when you come in.
Thank you. I've
heard so many good things from a lot of listeners and just a lot of people that have already, you know, sought you out, and you've helped their families. And so we're going to be talking about the challenges of in-laws and the positives of in-laws, right?
Yes.
So let's kind of roll into that, and then we'll take a quick break in a little bit. But where do we start?
Well, I was just thinking how lucky we are that the three of us in this room are, well, there are four of us, obviously, but the three of us are so blessed to have mothers-in-law who we adore.
Absolutely.
Because that,
and my mother-in-law and my parents-in-law and my parents were very good friends, which made it so easy for us because we'd have holidays and all four of them could come. And they actually spent a lot of time together outside of us. We used to kid and say they would rather be together than with us. But, you know, my parents have now passed. But I felt so fortunate
that they liked each other,
yes.
That it's easy. It's almost like you kind of want your parents to accept who you're bringing into your home, right?
Yes. Actually how my husband and I met. Our moms met each other over the phone and loved each other immediately.
That is so funny.
And they thought, oh, we love each other so much, our kids will adore each other. And they fixed us up.
No way.
On a blind date.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
That is really?
And that's how it used to be done many years ago. I mean, that is what the whole marriage, you know.
Yeah.
Or the arranged marriage.
Arranged marriage was also. Then the
wow.
parents would meet.
But now it's such an anomaly.
Yes, it is.
It
totally
doesn't
different.
Happen. And we have a picture from our wedding of our moms saying, yay, we did it.
Oh, how cute.
Well, and how long have you and your mom been friends?
Forever.
Well, Jeff and I have known each other for 29 years almost. And they met each other right before.
Huh. Really?
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, and ideally, and I know ideally life isn't ideal, but you do love your husband. So therefore, you like the way he was raised because you like who he became for the most part. You would think that it would be a natural thing to like the in-laws, but it isn't always.
It isn't always, but it's all about if your husband treats his mother right, guess what? That's usually how he's going to treat you. And so a lot of times that's a really good indication of who your mother is,
yes,
your mother-in-law is.
Sometimes these relationships are much more challenging. We're talking about the easy stuff.
Yes.
But
right.
I see a lot of people come into my office who are really struggling, and their in-law relationships have a really negative impact on
right.
their marriage.
Well, a lot of times they feel that you're taking their son away.
Yes.
Instead of turning it around and saying, you're joining our family.
Or if the family relationship wasn't a healthy one, then you know, and the husband or the wife don't want to be really involved with their own parents because it wasn't a healthy relationship in the first place, then it can be hard all the way around.
The biggest problem that I see is expectations that are not expressed. So people mm-hmm. are hurt, they're disappointed, they get angry, and then it builds in the resentment continues to grow instead of people communicating and saying, oh, after you had a baby, I hoped that I would see you 4 times a week. Oh, I didn't want to see you 4 times a week. I only wanted to have dinner with you once a week, or whatever it is. People need to put their expectations out on the table and be honest with each other.
Right. And in some families, there's competitiveness, too, between the in-laws. Like, you spend more time with that person's family, and I wanted you for Christmas, and you went to their house, and...
Right. Oh, she's a better grandmother than I am.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Why did you let her take care of the child and not me? You know, that kind of... Yeah,
and now,
so.
And what about on the other end, if you have somebody that you might think that they're not capable, and how do you deal with that? So there's so many different situations, right, where you wouldn't feel comfortable... letting your children stay with your in-laws or your mother or vice versa, or a husband, maybe they don't feel, you know. So give us some, you know, I mean, we've kind of talked about a bunch of different things.
You can't change the other person. So really, if you're the in-law, you only can be a better in-law. If you're
the
daughter-in-law,
yeah.
the son-in-law, you can only be a better daughter-in-law and son-in-law. You can't change the other person. So where do we go from here?
Do you want to chime in?
You start, and then I'll...
Okay, my thinking is that people have to really watch their own behavior. Trying to get other people to behave differently is futile. You be better. You take, just like you were saying, Marcia, it's really important that you say, okay, I love my husband, therefore I honor his mother. She may not be someone I would choose as my friend. She may not be my favorite person, although mine is.
Yeah.
But mine is too.
Not everybody is as lucky as I am.
Right.
So they need to be able to say, I love my husband, therefore I honor his mother or his father. And so it's really important that people put their best self forward instead of being demanding or intrusive.
You know, I agree with that, because when I first started dating my husband, on my husband's birthday, I sent my in-laws flowers and said thank you.
Aww,
because they
that's
were
really nice.
They were the reason he is such a great person. So I think the little things like that, just a thank you card or a call, how are you doing, you know, in the middle of the day, instead of waiting for your husband to do it.
And
you
know,
it.
And you know, okay, so I have the other end, and I don't know if my mother-in-law is listening or not, but she always thanks me, thank you so much for taking such good care of my son.
Aww.
You know, the same thing. It's really, and you know what? When I have 4 children, I want to be that great mother-in-law that they all want to be around. And
right.
I want to, you know, I don't want them to feel threatened that they don't feel comfortable at my home.
Right. So even if your in-laws are not people who you love and adore, you need to respect them. And I think that that's really where it begins.
I think that's the bottom line right there.
Yes.
I think you just nailed it right there. If anybody's just joining us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Betty Alkazian. She is our parenting coach. She's on a couple Wednesdays, right? And but give out your website and your phone number so people can find you.
Thank you. BalancedParenting.com. And I'm also on Facebook at Balanced Parenting.
Right. And so we're talking about in-laws. We're talking about how to strengthen maybe a relationship that hasn't gone so well, or to embrace a relationship that you already have. And it's like, you know, I was on Facebook and I saw my mother-in-law. I wish I talked to her more. Sometimes we have to make more time to, you know, to have that time.
Yes.
So I challenge everybody to give your in-laws a call and tell them thank you for being in your life.
Well, that works both ways. The mother-in-law can also pick up the phone.
That's right.
And the first thing I think I learned about being a mother-in-law was boundaries.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we
Huge.
Have a caller right now, and who are we speaking with?
This is Maggie.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi. I've been listening to this show for a while, and I've actually listened on Wednesdays with Betty, and I had a question that I could ask.
Sure.
What advice she has for me. My son's father passed away when my son was 2, and my son never met him, but my son often brings up that he misses his dad, and that, you know, if my dad was alive. And I don't know how to go about explaining to him, like, I know that your idea of a dad is there, and I know that you're dad, but I find it hard to relate to him, I guess, because he never met him. He never had a relationship with him. And I don't know, maybe you can tell me how to go about talking to him about it.
I think it's really important if a grandparent is gone. No,
it's the father. The father's gone.
The father passed away.
The child's father?
Yes.
Oh, forgive me. I misheard you.
Yes, it is the child's father.
To keep his memory alive, to share your memories of him and things you remember and things that his son would want to know about him is so important. And not to be afraid to talk about loss and death and things that people are so afraid of talking about.
And how old is he now?
He's 7.
Okay, so sometimes things are age appropriate. So, you know, you may not want to tell him right now that there was two sides to his dad and that he wasn't perfect. You know, as he gets older and as he develops his own personality, you can say, you know, something comes, oh, that's a lot like, you know, your dad. You have a good sense of humor, just like your dad. And
right.
Think, you know, bring it more to his own life rather than this view of something that's not there, because then he idolizes something that isn't there and he can't develop his own manhood.
And he's going to be curious. So the more information you can give, the better. And like Marcia said, as is age appropriate as well.
And Maggie, I think that it's important to paint the positives that you can pull from him to share with him so that he can grow with that. I think that's...
That's a huge thing. It's like trying to bring up the positives about the situation.
Are you in contact with his parents?
I am. He passed away under, you know, sad circumstances.
Uh-huh.
He was also adopted. So although I am connected with his parents, it's kind of an estranged and awkward relationship, because I don't think there was a relationship between, you know, the dad... the grandfather and my son's father.
Is there brothers? Is there any uncles?
Yeah, there's an aunt, but it's kind of estranged there too. Yeah. It's an adopting family.
Uh-huh.
You know, all families.
Well, adopted families are real families. So that even though they don't have a biological, you know, they're still who raised them, and there's value in getting to know them if they're good people.
Right.
And it's okay to explain to your son that there are all different kinds of families and challenges within families. And to just talk, I would be candid about it and honest and just say, I wish things were different for you, but this is how it is. And here are the things that we're really blessed to have.
And you know what the other thing is? You're the rock in his family, in his life, and just continue to be that rock. You know, when I got a divorce, when my daughter was only 2, you know, he wasn't available for her, but I was. Mm-hmm. And I made sure that I tried to do everything that I can. And as, you know, he grows up, he'll remember, he'll start to. And like Marcia was saying, and Betty, is age appropriate. As he gets older, he'll have those questions, and then you can give him the answers.
Well, the other thing that you did is you have a very strong father, your father.
Right.
And I'm sure he was a big influence in your daughter. And so if you have a good father or a really... you know, a pastor or some...
A good friend,
good
even.
Friend that's a good male influence. It's important for him to have males around him.
Definitely. Definitely. So, Maggie, did we answer your question?
Absolutely, and I really appreciate it.
You got it. All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Good luck.
Yeah. And so where do we go from here? What kind of advice can you give to our listeners? And I'm sure you deal with this a lot, right? Where people, you know, in-laws or families, no family's perfect. Let's just start right there, you know? And we have to honor all the directions that our families take us. And, you know, sometimes families and family gatherings are scary. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, but you know what? If we all know that we're not alone, again, another universal thing, right, is you just have to embrace in the ones that you know, even in your own immediate family, there's people that you really identify and connect with, right? And then, you know, is that
I think one of the biggest problems with in-laws is that if you don't get along with your mother-in-law, don't complain to your husband about it, because he has his own issues with her. Go vent with somebody else and then come back and be constructive. Because when you put your husband in between yourself and your in-laws, it's one more layer of problem.
Yes, and you don't ever want your husband to have to choose between his wife and his mother.
That's
oh my
right.
God.
It's just not, yeah. It's not fair, and it will do damage to the marriage for sure.
And in-laws are the same way. You don't want your husband to have to choose between his wife and his new family and yourself, because she is the gateway to your grandchildren. You know, so
definitely
think before you talk.
and you're putting them on. I mean, you're making them make a decision.
That's
and,
right.
And it might not be the decision
right.
you want.
That's right.
And people need to step up and be their best self and say, am I being unreasonable here? Are my expectations unfair? And maybe I just need to keep my mouth shut and smile.
Right. And the woman that's usually here on Wednesday is Jeannie. You know, she is really close to her mother-in-law, but her mother-in-law is, and as your mother-in-law's age, go through some health issues.
Right.
And she has had to deal, she's been the one that's dealt with this health issue more than any of the sons that, you know.
Yes.
So.
And that's a whole nother, we'll have to talk about that, because what happens when, you know, your husbands, they, as men, not always can help them. Are you there for your mother-in-law? And I think it's important as a family member that we do take care of our family members, you know. So anyways, great topic. Where do we find you? Where does everybody call you if you are having a topic? And let all the things that you do. I mean, your parent coaching, right? Your marriage and family. I mean, you really kind of cover the whole gamut, right?
Thank you. Yes, I am a marriage and family therapist, and you can find me at balancedparenting.com or on Facebook, Balanced Parenting.
And also tell them about your book, because that is what you're talking about, balancedparenting.com.
My book is called Parenting Backwards, and and I include talking about extended family and how important grandparents are, and it's okay to let them spoil your kids.
And it is?
Yes, it is. That's their job and their privilege.
I went to your coffee, and yes. That was so much fun. Tell them about that, too.
Thank you. I do an event called Coffee with Betty, and in Thousand Oaks, it's the first Tuesday of the month, and in Encino in the Valley, it's the third Thursday of the month, which is actually tomorrow. And it's just an open forum parenting chat. And it's really fun.
You know,
fun.
It was fun because my kids are older. It was so much fun to come listen to the problems. You know, they say small kids, small problems, big kids, big problems.
Yes.
And that
but
is true.
But when you're in it, it feels huge.
It's huge. But the subjects that came up, I'm like, oh, I was there.
And you contributed
and I survived.
So much. You
were I survived.
So
and that is true. I felt like a hero. Like I made it through, like, you know. I know. So, all right. Well, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We've had some great talk, and we're going to take a really quick break. Stay with us. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. It's all about positive talk. Hi, it's Kim, and I want to share someone with you, my mechanic. With over 30 years of experience, you can be sure that your car will always be handled with the latest diagnostic equipment. Everything that needs to be done to your car will be explained in layman's terms.
Hi, I'm Jerry Schaffner, owner of JBS Auto Services. We specialize in gas, diesel, domestic, foreign, street rod, heavy-duty trucks, and motorhomes. Give us a call so we can take care of all your automotive problems. We are located right off the 118 in Simi Valley. Give us a call, 805-522-3923. Again, that number is 805-522-3923.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ.
Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows, as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out.
Love it, love it, love it. I know, I know. We're dancing in the studio here. Anyways, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We were just talking in the break. You know, there's just so many family topics. And, you know, I mean, Terry, you know, we were just talking that Betty said that you were really the instigator of making your relationship so wonderful. And I think that that's so important. What did you do to do that?
I don't think I was consciously doing anything. I think it was just a matter of I liked her.
Yeah, so you treated her like a friend.
Right, so that made it easy going in. I have one other daughter-in-law who I also like.
Right.
We're not as close because our lives are very different.
Uh-huh.
And Betty and I have, I think, a lot more in common in some ways. But I admire my other daughter-in-law as much as I admire this one.
And I think that's the key right there, to admire, you know, because I even as a friend, if you look at what a friend is, somebody that brings something to you and adds to your life, and obviously Betty adds, she adds to my life. I can imagine what she's doing to your family.
She added a lot to our family.
I also think it has to do with respecting your son's choice.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because, I mean, even my son's dated the same girl for 2.5 years. He's only a senior in high school. It's kind of scary. And they're both going away to college. But I knew from the moment I met his girlfriend that I needed to be nice to her and treat her nicely so that she would feel comfortable enough to be part of us, or I would lose all my time with my son.
That's right.
So true. Because, you know, in fact, I know my mom's listening, but is it a man... Or let's see, your son is your son until he takes his wife.
Right.
And then his wife becomes his life. And I just think that, you know, so you want to keep them in your life, you know?
Right, exactly.
And what a perfect way to enjoy and cherish
their
life.
And I always say, I don't know what's going to happen with my son. He's way too young. If you ever listen to this, Alec, you're way too young.
Yeah.
But I will be friends with Alana regardless of whether he ends up with her or not. She will always be a friend of our family because I just adore her. You know, I adore her. So you have to treat people with how you would treat your friends.
And I can tell you what Terry did that she may not even be aware of, and that is that she kept in close touch. She showed that she cared on every level, and she would call back and check back if I had a doctor's appointment, how did it go, those kinds of things, without being intrusive.
Right.
She was very respectful of the boundaries of our family.
And so is my mother-in-law. Like, she's very Southern, so she's very proper and really sweet. But she doesn't just, even though it would be perfectly fine with me if she just showed up, she will never do that.
No.
She always calls first and says, is it okay if I come over or whatever? And I'm like, you can just come up. No, I can't. So she, even when the kids were little, and I'm sure she would have wanted to be around more, she was very respectful of that, and as well, my mother was of our family.
And, you know, both my mom, too. My mom's like, oh, no, you guys need your time. Mom, we want you. Want you to come over. And my mother-in-law, the same thing. I love when she's there. She's, you know, I mean, she teaches me things about my roses. She's, you know, the one.
Well, and then there's the mother and daughter thing. I think my husband got along with my mother more than I did. You know, my mom and I, we loved each other dearly. She's passed away now. But we could also fight more than anyone.
Right,
you know?
Matt?
So
I have a quick question. I'm not married, but on my girlfriend's side, their family's not very social.
Oh.
So when I go over, I mean, I don't mind starting a conversation. I'll talk with anybody and just laugh, have a good time. But what are your thoughts on, you know, the in-laws are not social. They're just...
So how to connect with them?
Yeah, how do you connect with them? So
what are their interests? I think maybe talk to your girlfriend about what is different about your parents that I can have a conversation with them over?
Right. It's fine about finding that common ground or finding tools that might even help begin a conversation. There, you know, you could even play a board game,
right,
or do something to have some common experiences. And then the more common experiences you have, the more conversation you have to build on later.
And you know what I say? Okay, from having my radio show, it's really important for you to almost find them interesting. So ask them questions, get to know them, because there's going to be things that you'll be like, oh my God, I never knew that.
Invite them over, because sometimes when people get out of their own space, they're much more open than in their own space. They're in a rut of what's, you know, or invite them out.
Right. We do have our next guest on, and Jenny Larson, and her book is Let's Pretend This Never Happened. Jenny, are you there?
I am.
Welcome. We kind of got we got off on our little family tantrum here, which is a great thing. And I love that, you know, that we were talking about that. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I just had a book come out yesterday, which I'm very excited about. And it's actually kind of funny because the book itself is a love story to my family.
Oh.
So it fits in very well. It's a little segue.
Okay.
It's called Let's Pretend This Never Happened, a mostly true memoir. And it's basically about my extremely bizarre childhood, which led to an extremely bizarre life, and about how to learn not to run from all of the embarrassing, terrible things that you wanted to pretend never happened and instead embrace those things.
Well, I'm reading the quotes on the back of your book that people have written, and I love this. Jenny Larson is hilarious, snarky, witty, totally inappropriate, and like Mother Teresa, only better. So why was your life so quirky?
Well, growing up, my father was a professional taxidermist, and we lived in very rural Texas. We didn't have a whole lot of money, and so we lived almost a little house on the prairie sort of life. You know, sometimes we had running water, sometimes we didn't. We didn't have winter shoes, so instead you'd wear your summer shoes and you just, you know, stuff them full of newspaper you know, plastic bags. But I had a great childhood. I mean, it was wonderful and fantastic. But it's interesting because when I tell people about it, people are always like, that sounds terrible. You lived in Texas and you didn't have air conditioning? How's that possible? But it was wonderful. It was embarrassing and unusual and strange, but at the same time, it was my childhood, and it was a great childhood. I felt very loved. So as I got older, I had my daughter, and I, at the time, was like, my daughter's going to have a totally different life than I had. She's going to grow up in this big house, and we're going to have dance lessons, and she's going to be a cheerleader, and she's not going to be that weird misfit that, like, you know, sits in the corner and hides in the bathroom, because that's who I was growing up. And then I realized, as I was thinking back on my life, and I was thinking, you know, all of those memories that I have of my childhood, those things that made me who I am, those are the things that I want for my child, not the things that make her like everybody else in the world. Mm. And so instead, my husband and I decided, you know what, let's leave the city that we have just moved to, and instead let's move out into the rural countryside ourselves, and let's give her that same life that that we want her to have to make her unique and special.
So you're looking at your life, which you thought you wanted to change, but then all of a sudden you realized it actually was a good life, correct?
Exactly.
Now, did you think of this as a quirky life when you're living? I mean, could you look at your life and think, this is not normal?
You know, in some ways, yes. Enough to realize, oh, this is wrong. You know, people are going to make fun of me. But at the same time, you know, we lived in, you know, sort of a poor area. And so, I mean, I had a friend who didn't have carpet. Like, they just had a dirt floor in their house. And so when you have the privilege of owning carpet, it's hard to really feel too bad about your life. So, you know, it's interesting when I tell other people about my childhood, and they're like, what? You didn't have heat growing up? And you did, like,
why did you not have heat? Did you ever ask your father that? Is it because you couldn't afford it, or he made a choice?
We couldn't afford it, but my parents never said we couldn't afford it. My parents would always just say, we don't need that. And it's true. I mean, we did survive. So instead we had these little kerosene heaters. And I remember my mom would go off to work. She was a lunch lady, and she'd set the kerosene heater up, and we weren't supposed to turn on any electricity because it, you know, would run up the bill. So my sister and I would sit with our books, and we'd sit right in front of the kerosene heater so that we could read by the light of the kerosene heater, and I always had a sunburn on, like, the front of my legs from sitting, like, just a little bit too close.
Oh my gosh, but
you know, it's so funny because I hear those stories and they sound so like oh, what a poor child you must have been. But those are so, those are my favorite memories. Or
isn't that amazing how, I mean, that really just goes to show you that, you know, the grass is not always greener.
Exactly.
And I really believe that, you know, the way our life is, the people that show up in our life, this is our journey. And embrace in your journey, unless, you know, God forbid you're getting beaten or, you know what I mean, those kind of things. But, you know, when your parents are doing the best they can, you can either take from it.
Well, I'm flipping through this and reading passages, and it is hysterical. So if you want a good laugh, and I would read some of it, but some of it has some words I can't say on the conversation.
Can you leave a couple words out?
This is called Thanks for Zombie Jesus. Car conversation with Victor. Me. Oh, my God. Did you see the name of that cemetery that we just passed? Resurrection Cemetery? What a horrible name for a cemetery. Victor, it's because they believe in the resurrection of believers. I'm leaving some things out. Me. Still? Some things just shouldn't be resurrected. Just what we need is a bunch of zombies wandering the earth. Victor. That's not resurrection. That's reincarnation. Me, same difference, although I guess reincarnation cemetery would sound way more creepy. I mean, and the whole thing has funny things. And you have some, like, you've written something and then you cross it out, which I think is hysterical.
Because that's really how our thoughts are, you know?
Exactly. I try to write it in the exact same almost stream of consciousness kind of way. And, you know, The book itself is a humor book, and it is it's getting good reviews for, you know, just being really funny. But it also has you know, a serious side. I talk about my miscarriages, and I have anxiety disorder and severe rheumatoid arthritis and depression, and so I talk about those as well. But at the same time, even those stories have a humor element to them, because I think that there's something about being able to laugh at it, and granted, my laughter is very irreverent compared, like, I'm really surprised you were able to read that at all without, like, I know there's a lot of
I mean, this is really funny. Internet guy, I guess you were trying to get
a website guy?
No, he's on the internet, and she's trying to get an answer for something, and internet guy, you need to buy some ducks. Ducks eat the out of scorpions. But the scorpions are in my attic. You get 500 ducks, put them up there, and you're not going to have to worry about any scorpions left in the attic. Yeah, I guess, but then I'll have 500 ducks in my attic. Yeah. You got a gun?
Oh, my God. I mean,
it's really funny.
Thank you. So did this, I mean, did it really come from your life?
It did. It absolutely did. And it's funny because a lot of people ask me, like, oh, that's mostly true, and they'll pick, like, you know, an element, and they'll be like, but that didn't really happen, did it? And the mostly true just comes from I changed a lot of names. Really.
Right. Yeah.
So I have a question. You said you have a sister. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Did she see it the same way you do? Because a lot of times they don't.
She totally does.
She totally does.
And it's funny, too, because I let my parents read it first before it got published, and I let my sister and my in-laws, everybody pretty much that was in the book, that had a main part in the book, they got to read it so that they could make sure that they, first of all, agreed with it.
And that you were on track.
Exactly. What was funny is how often they would actually add to the story, where they would be like, well, yeah, that was funny, but remember the time when, and I was like, oh, okay, we added another chapter. That's awesome.
That's funny. Well, where do we find your book?
You can find it at Target, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of the indie bookstores, pretty much anywhere. It came out yesterday. So
congratulations. That's great. And this is your first book, right?
It is, yeah.
And, you know, we all need a laugh. I truly believe that is the...
Exactly.
You know.
I'm going to be in L.A. tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, okay, so great.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at the Writer's Block at the Writer's Guild Theater.
Okay.
It's actually me and...
Well, can you put that on my Facebook and become a fan?
Awesome.
And we'll share you.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you so much, Jenny Lawson. Let's pretend this never happened. Have you ever thought about that? Let's pretend this never happened.
Yeah,
how many times, right? All right. Well, I don't want to pretend that this show never happened. I love my show. I love my sponsors. I love my listeners and all my guests. And, you know, if you want to be a part of our show, give me a call at 805-419-0008. I'd love to set you up with one of my team members to talk about how you can be a part of this show and get the word out there. And Betty, tell everybody how to get in touch with you.
Thank you. BalancedParenting.com is the best way to find me.
All right. And Terry, thank you so much for being a guest.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. And an example for other in-laws, and I think that that's so important. You made a difference in our life, and that's what it's all about. So, Marcia, thank you so much for being here.
My
again.
Pleasure.
Are you coming again tomorrow and the next day?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Next week.
You're welcome, though. Anyways, all right, Matt, thank you so much for being on our show and our board and to all my listeners. Again, remember to become a fan, and of course, I almost forgot my mommy moment. Of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment, and today's is, if it's to be, it's up to me, and I am worthy of it. So remember, if you want something in your life, don't be waiting around for somebody else to do it. Go do it yourself, and know that you're worthy of it. So with that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Look good, feel good, and do good, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Maybe I need some rehab, or maybe just need some sleep.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollars. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
Hi, I'm Andrea with Hometown Insurance Services. Allied Insurance is a member of Nationwide Insurance Family. Allied will discount your premiums up to 23% if we insure both your home and auto together. Allied also offers many occupational discounts. Please call Hometown Insurance today for a free, no pressure, no obligation quote. Call us at 850-0380 or stop by our office at 4517 Market Street, Suite 1B in Ventura.